We're visiting the Gemara in Yevamos, the Fofdalet Amar Aleph, as part of our learning of the Ramban Sefer Mitzvot, because this is a key source in this whole question of Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto. So we'll begin from the beginning. We know there's a mitzvah of Yibum. The Gemara says, on Chafdalet Amar Aleph in Yevamos, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Mitzvah Bagadol Yabim. The mitzvah ideally is that the eldest brother has first rights to do yibum, to marry the widowed sister-in-law. But if the younger brother steps forward and he grabs the mitzvah, so okay, he merited to do the mitzvah. Fine. And now Tanu Abanan. Now we bring a braisa, which breaks down the words in the pasuk, the pasuk that describes what happens with the first boy that's born. Meaning the idea of yibum is the brother marries the widow, they have children, and then there's a continuation for the deceased first husband, for the uncle. So the braisa now works on this pasuk word by word. It says in the pasuk, Vaya ha-bechor asher teled. So we darshan, Tanu Rabbanan. Vaya ha-bechor mikan shemitzvah bagadol yavim. Even though the pasuk really is talking about the first child she has, we apply the pasuk to mean that the elder brother should do yibum. He's first to the mitzvah. Asher teled prat la'ilonit she'en yoledet. This that describes that the widowed wife has a child is coming to the exclusion of an ilonis. Ilonis is a woman that's like a man, meaning she doesn't have the signs of being a female. She's probably got a hormonal problem, and her voice sounds masculine. She doesn't develop the way a woman physically develops. So you have women like that, and that's what's called ilonit. Ail is like a male ram. So ilonit, she's a woman that's like a male, that she can't have children. So the whole idea of yibum is that she will continue the family. Well, asher teled, only a wife that's capable of having children, to the exception of a woman that did not develop the female signs, well, then she doesn't have a mitzvah of yibum.
Is she physically a woman?
Physically, she's a woman. Genetically, her development, when she hits puberty, she doesn't develop like a woman. She doesn't develop the hairs of a woman. She doesn't develop the build of a woman.
She looks like a man.
Her physical build. Anatomically, she has, I don't know if she has ovaries or not, but anatomically, externally, she has the male organ, the female organ, you know.
At the top, too?
On the top, no.
So she looks like a man.
In that sense, if that's what you call looks like a man.
In the revealed sense.
Well, she grows her hair long. I don't think she has a beard.
No.
No. I mean, you have men who are also like that. They never have a beard. They never, I mean... So she'll grow her hair, she'll look like a woman, she might not be the...
It sounds very hard to pinpoint in
so the left. So the Gemara goes into, the Gemara has signs. What are the signs? If she hits what age and doesn't have her period?
Okay.
If she...
So why is it saying that she can't have children? She can't have children. She has the physical...
Just because she has a womb, theoretically, and the female reproductive organ doesn't mean that she can have children. If she's got a problem in her genetic makeup, so it could be that her ovaries don't produce any eggs. She's not having a period every month, then obviously she's not having a period every month.
That
so obviously the there's something going on there, right?
What? That's one of the criteria?
Yeah.
Okay. But what is it possible that she could have children? I mean,
can there be a misclassification? Well, when we learn the Gemara, we'll see that there are many signs that she has to fulfill in order to be an Ilonit, just like a man has to have many signs in order to show that he is the equivalent. What's it called? By a man? I forgot the male equivalent of Ilonit. Man also.
Do they have Ilonit guilt?
Sure. Only today we understand that it has to do with she's missing certain hormones, and it could be fixable, could be not. Today, I don't know if today, if she fulfills all the criterion, I don't know if they could fix that with gene therapy today. And if her ovaries don't produce eggs, I don't know if they could do anything about that. I don't know. So a woman like that, there's no mitzvah of yibum. The Gemara continues, the Braisa continues with the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, Yelkum al Shem Achiv, that first child that she has, he will stand on the brother's name, meaning on the uncle's name. Lenachala, he will take over his lot. Ata omer lenachala o eino ola l'shem. It says, Yakum al Shem Achiv lenachala. So when it says he stands on his brother's name, is it stressing the name or the inheritance? Which one is it? Because it says both in the pasuk. Ata omer lenachala, do you say it's for the inheritance? So you know, la l'shem, Yosef, korino to Yosef. Maybe it just means that he takes on his name. If the deceased brother was called Yosef, so the child is called Yosef. Yochanan, korino to Yochanan. The deceased brother's name was Yochanan, you name the child Yochanan. So how do we learn this pasuk? Ne'emar kan yakum al shem achiv. So we do gzer shava. Over here it says the words yakum al shem achiv. V'ne'emar la'alan. And it says over there about the children that Yosef will have in the future. It says your two children, Ephraim and Menashe, they count like two tribes. Whatever children you have in the future, al shem achiv yikaru b'nachlatam. They will take on their brother's name when it comes to inheritance. Meaning, they're going to have to share the lot of Ephraim and Menashe. Ma shem amu la'ala nachala, av shem amu kan l'nachala. Just like over there, it's talking about the inheritance. So too over here, when it says the child takes on the uncle's, the deceased uncle's name, it doesn't mean the name, it means he takes on his plot. He takes on the inheritance. Then the pasuk says, "V'lo yimachesh shmo miYisrael," and in this way you ensure that the deceased brother's name will not be eradicated from the Jewish people. So that's telling you a person whose name had potential for a continuum, parat l'saris sheshmo machui, to the extension of a eunuch who had no potential for continuum. You have to continue something that had potential earlier. If there was no potential, then this doesn't apply. So that's the braisa. So we're going to zone in on that question, how do you interpret the words Yakum al Shem Achiv l'nachala? Amar Rava. So Rava tells us a fantastic line here. Afal gavde v'kol ha-Torah kula en mikra yutzem dei pshuto. Even though ordinarily throughout the Torah, the verse never leaves its literal meaning. Hacha'atai gzera shava apiktei mipshatei legamre. Here the Gzer Shava came and completely removed it from its literal interpretation. Meaning? The literal meaning of the pasuk is that you name the firstborn child after the father. He gets the inheritance, no problem, but it does say he takes on his name. And we say there's no mitzvah to give him the name. You don't have to name the child Yosef after the deceased uncle. You don't have to name him Yochanan after the deceased uncle. So there's no remnant to Pshuto Shel Mikra. So this is the Gemara that we're focusing on here in the Ramban. So the rest of the page is interesting. If you want, we'll learn it, but it's not so relevant to us. What's your vote? It's interesting anyways. Okay, so we'll... first we'll do we'll continue a little bit and then we have to see Rashi before we go back to Ramban. Now The Gemara over here, according to Rashi, the Gemara is entertaining two interpretations in the pasuk. Either the child gets named after the deceased uncle, or Yakum al Shem Achiv, he will take on his brother's plot, is referring to the father, meaning the one who married the widow he takes over the plots of the deceased, of his deceased brother. So the Gemara says like this: Ve'ilav gzera shava. If you didn't have the gzera shava, hava mina shem shem mamash. Then I would have thought that when it says he takes over his brother's name, it means his name literally. Leman kamazal rachmana. Who's the Torah warning here? Layabam, if the Torah is talking to the brother who married her, so then Yakum al Shem Achicha Mibayle should have said, he'll take on your brother's name. Ilibeidina, if it's telling the court, you ensure that the child is named after the uncle, so then Yakum al Shem Achi Aviv Mibayle should have said, he takes on the name of his father's brother. So what does it mean? He will take on his brother's name. Whose brother's name? The father's brother's name. Should have said the father's brother's. Whose brother? If we're talking to the Yabam, then should have said Al Shem Achicha. V'din ma'achi kamalu rachman al betin. Imru le Yabam, yakum al Shem Achiv. Maybe what the pasuk is saying is, you, the courts, tell the Yabam, tell the father, you, the father, have a mitzvah to ensure that the child takes on your brother's name, Al Shem Achiv. Ela ata gzera shava apikte legamra. But the gzera shava completely removes this understanding, and you don't have to name the child after the deceased uncle altogether. No such mitzvah. The father doesn't have to do it. The courts don't have to do it. No one has to do it. He doesn't have to.
That's how we do
it. Okay. So says Rashi. אין מקרא יוצא מידי פשוטו. You got it? ואף לגב דדושינן לדרשה. Although we do derive things from the pasuk, it's not that we're always bound to the literal meaning. מידי פשוטו מי הוא לא נפיק לגמרי. But it's never completely removed from the literal meaning, that the literal meaning also has some impact. Here the גזיר שווה completely removed it. והפיקתי לגמרי. שאין צריך לקרות לבנו בשם אחיו המת. That you don't have to name them after the brother altogether. The Pashup Shat doesn't have any relevance. The Hachi Gamale Mirabe. And this is the tradition he had. And this goes against the rule. But this is the tradition he had, that in this case we go against the rule. Okay? Okay, now we saw the Gemara, we could go back to the Ramban.
I always thought that the point was to keep his name.